Hello, I'm Donovan Kane. Welcome back to the podcast, where I've been reading you Deep in the Woods, Book 1 of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. Today, I'll continue reading you Annabelle Joseph's book with Episode 15. Chapter 15. It wasn't until she was in the car that she realized she should have left a note for Dave. She didn't even have her phone with her to call him. She should at least have brought Serby. God, Dave would be pissed. She was supposed to check in with him whenever she went anywhere. She'd just been punished for the exact same thing not even a week ago. In fact, she'd been punished for sneaking off to this exact same place. She thought she should turn around and just deal with it later, but she was so close to remembering. She felt her memories teetering on some cusp of her brain. It was like knowing a word, but not quite being able to remember it. She knew if she could just remember, then the nightmares would stop. At least she hoped so. She argued back and forth with herself to the point where she was so near the park, it seemed stupid to turn around. She pulled in and parked. It was late afternoon, nice and cool, and lots of families were still on the playground, while others exercised on the circular path surrounding it. She passed them all, deep in thought. Remember, remember, remember. She took her time walking to the trail, trying to remember that night. She passed into the thicker woods where the trail changed from concrete to earth. She climbed the path until she reached the clearing and then sat in the center of it. She was determined to sit here and try to remember until she shook it loose from her brain. The sun was dropping in the sky, making her squint as it shone through the barren winter trees. She closed her eyes and let her mind drift. Nothing. She pursed her lips in frustration and lay back on the cool earth. She looked up at the trees over her, the crisscrossing branches. Remember. Remember. She'd never meditated before in her life, but now she tried. She emptied her mind and made her body relax. In time, the cool breeze and faint chirping of birds soothed her, and she felt herself taken back to that time. Remember. She remembered darkness, cold, rain on her face. She was so sick, so nauseous. Sickness, lightning, pain, blood. She drew her hands up to her face and saw blood on her fingers. Barry pushing her back. Blood, blood, blood. She heard thunder and felt the rain on her face. My God, it hurts so badly. Let me up, let me up. She forced her way up and saw blood on her thighs, on her hands. Barry raped her, hurt her. That's what happened. No, there was too much blood for that. Sickness, lightning, screams, rain, horrible pain and cramps that made her double over. Blood and cramping that seemed to tear her asunder. Sophie sat up with a cry, grasping her middle, caught between past and present. She knew now. She remembered. It had to be. She'd had a miscarriage. And Barry had been there, holding her down while she cried for him to help her. It hurts. Please. Barry was there now, coming closer. Oh, God. Barry. No, it was just another dream. Wake up. Wake up now. No, it wasn't a dream. She wasn't sleeping. Barry was there, a few yards away from her. He was watching her with a curious expression on his face. She leaped to her feet, shaking off her confusion. What are you doing here? He shrugged. I knew you'd come here. I always knew exactly what your next move would be. That's what made me such a good dom. She swallowed down fear. He couldn't hurt her now. Not anymore. She raised her chin and faced him. You were a horrible dom.
Was I? You seemed to enjoy yourself when we were together.
Yeah, when I was coherent. When I wasn't drugged and mind-fucked to within an inch of my life.
You liked it, Sophie.
No, you abused me. The things you did to me were wrong.
Who says? You never said they were wrong. You never told me to stop. That's what made you such a good sub, he said with a grin. She wanted to rip his face off.
"I know what happened,"
she said instead. Emotion rose in her throat, straining her voice so she could barely speak.
"I know now. I remember. I lost a baby here. Our baby."
He looked at her, his eyes narrowing. "You had a miscarriage, yes. Not that it matters now. Why do you want to bring all this up? Why now? It's ancient history. We went home afterward and you were fine. Who gives a shit?" She shook her head.
"You held me down. You held me down in the dirt right there. I was sick. I was in horrible pain."
"You had a miscarriage," he said. "It was a mess."
"It was a mess?"
Sophie's sorrow spun into disbelieving rage.
"That's what you have to say about it? It was a mess? What's wrong with you?"
Barry snorted and crossed his arms over his chest. "What's wrong with me? It was you. You lost the baby. It was your fault."
"How was it my fault? What the hell are you talking about?"
"It was your fault," he yelled, suddenly enraged. "You forgot your damn pill or something. It was all your fault, Sophie. You belong to me and me alone." He turned away in agitation. Sophie stood open-mouthed, completely robbed of words. He spun back and advanced into her space. "No baby was going to come between us. As soon as your period stopped coming, I knew. Believe me, I tried every other way to get rid of it. I drugged you, I kept food and water from you, I even took you to get an abortion. But you were too out of it to sign the papers, and then they started asking all these questions."
"What did you do?"
she asked in a low, shaky voice.
"What did you do to me?"
He scowled. "I got some herbs from this hippie friend of mine. They were supposed to induce an abortion. I drugged you up, twice the normal dose I kept you on, and I gave you the herbs. And they worked. I brought you out here because of all the blood, and you laid down there and you lost the baby, Sophie. There in the fucking mud, in the middle of a storm. You asked for it. Don't try to pin this on me, like I'm the bad guy. You look back at everything and paint me as the bad guy when you were just as much to blame. You tried to get pregnant to get away from me."
"I tried to get pregnant? I never had a clue I was pregnant."
"You did it on purpose. But I was the one in charge of our relationship. It was my right to make it go away." Sophie's hair stood on end. He was a psychopath. She had known he was crazy all along, but this was worse than she ever realized. Her whole body trembled, whether from terror or fury, she didn't know. She couldn't think of what to say. Only one question came to her mind.
"What the fuck is wrong with you, Barry? Why are you so fucking insane?"
He drew a hand across his mouth and glared at her.
"Why?
You have to ask me why? Because you drove me fucking crazy, you little cunt. I always loved you, always. You were supposed to be for me alone. You and your fucking pregnancy. No fucking way." She wanted to kill him. She screamed at him through tears.
"You selfish, depraved motherfucker. If there was any justice in this world, you would be dead instead of my baby."
"No, bitch. You would be dead. If it wasn't for me, for the way I loved you, I would have killed you too for all the pain you caused me."
His eyes went blank, and then he lunged for her. His hands closed around her neck.
"But you don't love me, Sophie. You never loved me, did you?"
Sophie shook her head, trying to extricate herself from his choking grasp, but he mistook it for denial, and it inflamed him more. His hands tightened like a vice around her neck, cutting off her breath.
"Exactly. You never loved me. Who's the selfish one, you fucking bitch?"
Sophie scratched at his iron grip. Her face felt flooded, swollen, as if it were going to explode. All the self-defense maneuvers Dave had taught her fled her mind, along with her oxygen.
"Defend yourself. Fight back."
She could only claw helplessly at his iron forearms. The edge of her vision grew dim. She tried to say, "No, please," but she was, once again, powerless in Barry's grasp. She thought of Dave as she went limp, of the note she should have written,
the call she should have made.
"I will not keep secrets from my sir. I will not keep secrets from my sir. I'm so sorry, sir. I'm so sorry I did this. I'm so sorry it ended this way."
Then she heard a sound like a growling wind through the gates of Hades. Just before she blacked out completely, she saw a blur of angry, dark hellhounds streak into the clearing, black fur and bared teeth, and nothing more. By the time Dave caught up to Cerberus, the dog had the situation firmly in hand. He had one massive paw braced on the man's chest, while his bared teeth dripped slobber onto his terrified face from scant inches away.
"Barry?"
The man's short nod confirmed Dave's suspicions.
"I wouldn't move if I were you," Dave muttered, stepping over him to where Sophie lay limp, livid bruises already purpling around her neck.
He checked for a pulse, felt a thready beat, and gasped with relief. He made a call to 911 on his cell and then buried his face in Sophie's hair, murmuring prayers already answered to a God he didn't believe in until just now. He whispered to her as he tried to revive her, heartfelt words of love mixed with babbling recriminations, punctuated with pointless, silly orders like, "Keep breathing," and "Lie still." Meanwhile, Cerberus growled at Barry, keeping him from moving one iota.
"Hey," Barry's voice came weakly, "could you call off your dog?"
"No fucking way," Dave muttered as Cerby let loose with an "I'm going to rip your head off" snarl that Barry answered with a moan of fear. The sound awakened Sophie, and she looked around in alarm.
"Barry."
"It's okay. Serby's got Barry. I think the man's going to wet himself. Look."
Barry's whimpers of terror, with Serby's teeth at his throat, satisfied Dave's urges for revenge. He would let the police handle the rest. He focused on Sophie instead, helping her sit up.
"Are you okay? Can you breathe okay? How does your head feel?"
She nodded slowly.
"I'm fine."
As he gazed down at her, he saw her eyes fill with tears.
"Don't cry, honey. It's okay."
"I'm so sorry."
He pulled her into his arms and held her as she sobbed into his chest.
"Shh, just rest. Don't try to talk right now."
The police and EMTs arrived shortly afterward in a bustle of activity. Her statement and the bruises on her neck proved sufficient to result in Barry's arrest for attempted murder. That is, once Serby released him into police custody.
"Okay, boy," Dave reassured him. "You can let him up now. Sophie's safe. Good boy."
In the hospital, Sophie told Dave the whole story of what had happened in the clearing in the woods many months ago, and Barry's attack on her. Her mother and father arrived, and she told it again, remembering even more details that made his heart break. Dave took her home, promising to keep her parents updated on her condition. He kept her in bed all night and into the next day, admonishing her to rest as he held her close.
"Punish me,"
she begged him.
"Please."
"Absolutely not,"
he answered each time she asked, as if he could even consider such a thing when it seemed to him that every breath she took was a miracle. It was a miracle she was alive. When he'd arrived home to find her missing, he wasted precious moments calling her work, calling friends she might have visited. It was Cerberus who paced and unnerved Dave so much, he finally realized something was wrong. Then Dave had asked himself, where? Where was she? Overton Park had been the first place that came to mind. He thought about her recent secret visits there, and a horrible idea occurred to him. She was still communicating with him. Barry. Why? He picked up the phone and found Barry's number was the last one dialed. In a blind fury, he charged out the door, not even stopping to bring Cerberus along. But the dog had stood in Dave's way until he ushered him with a curse into the car. And if he hadn't, Sophie would no longer be with him. Dave was sure of that. When Cerberus had broken away from Dave, dragging his leash behind him into the woods at breakneck speed, Dave knew something was horribly wrong. If not for Cerberus, Dave would never have found Sophie in time. It seemed so random in hindsight. If he hadn't been so angry, he wouldn't have driven so fast. If Serby hadn't tangled himself in Dave's legs until he couldn't leave without him, he would have left him behind. If he hadn't caught Sophie in her secret forays to Overton Park by deciding to meet her at work because Ryan's flight was early, he never would have thought to go there this day. If he hadn't decided that day in the train yard to bring that starving, flea-ridden mutt home. So many random chances to lose her. So much unbelievable luck that she was there, alive and well, lying in his arms. So, punishment? Not very likely. At least not now. There was a time to punish, and a time to cradle and soothe. Worse, Dave wasn't sure what she wanted to be punished for. Frankly, he was afraid to ask. Did she want to be punished for leaving without telling him where she was going? Or did she want to be punished for some perceived sense of collusion in the tragedy of her miscarriage? It would be just like Sophie to blame herself, to see the crime through some warped lens of personal culpability. Dave looked down at her neck, at the garish evidence of Barry's last assault, and thought to himself how sad all of it was. He had much more important work to do than punishing her. He had to help her rebuild the wreckage of her heart. Later, when she slept, he went down to the dark room. He mixed chemicals and set up developing trays, forcing himself to the work. He exposed every negative in the enlarger, every shot he'd snapped of Ryan and Sophie on the forest floor. He developed them all and watched each print appear. 25 in all, in the developer tray. Hazy grayscale blurs strengthening into clear, sharp images that were difficult for Dave to look at. Sophie in ecstasy. Sophie wild and unfettered in the dark of night. Sophie's face changing, a flinch as she looked up at the sky, her eyes closing, mouth opening in the rictus of a horrible scream. Dave made himself look, but he knew he would never understand, never feel what she felt at either moment in time. The moment she suffered through in drugged confusion, and the moment she relived as a memory long after the fact. He looked, and then he collected every negative, every print, and burned them all to ashes, staring into the blazing conflagration until it died. The end of this episode. Come back tomorrow, and I'll read you episode 16 of Deep in the Woods, book one of the Fortune series, written by New York Times bestselling author Annabelle Joseph. You can learn more about Annabelle Joseph and her books at annabellejoseph.com. I'm Donovan Kane. Thank you for listening.